So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's been an interesting week this week, hasn't it? This week we have had a heat wave and a new Prime Minister. The hot weather could be a direct response to global warming. And if anyone had told me in 2012 that Boris Johnson would be the future Prime Minister, I wouldn't have believed them. I remember him being stuck on a zip wire after celebrating England's gold medals in the London 2012 Olympics. I couldn't imagine him living that down, or even getting down at the time, from that experience. And yet, he is now our new Conservative leader and our Prime Minister. As I said, it's been an interesting week and a reminder that we need to pray for our world and our country more than ever. Now, I do mean this lightheartedly, and I'm not really making any political statements this morning, but I am interested in the role of prayer for our nation at this time. But how do we pray? That's what our gospel is all about this morning. Jesus teaches us how to pray with the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's a kind of blueprint, if you like, for how we should pray. So I'd like to go through it step by step to explore it in further detail. So if you listen carefully, it will help you with the activity. I'm going to use the traditional version for this, so I hope that's okay. So the first line of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven. So first, we need to be mindful of who it is we are addressing. It is, after all, the great God of heaven, the creator of all, and we are privileged to come before him in a close relationship as his children. The our focus here is an outward one and also includes others around us. He is our Father. The next line is, Hallowed be thy name. So here we express a desire that God's name and all it stands for be treated as holy, praised, honoured and respected by all, and especially by us as we express praise and thanks to him for all he has done, all he is doing and all he will do in our lives. The next line, of course, is Thy kingdom come. Here we express eager support for God's plan, pleading that his rule over the world come swiftly and set things right, mindful of course, of what is currently wrong in the world. And we personally desire that God would reign in our own lives now. And we must note here that all the requests of this prayer will find ultimate fulfillment when God's kingdom comes here on earth. This means that we can be confident that the world as it stands, even now, is in God's hands. The next line, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that all would perfectly obey God just as the angels of heaven do, and that we would seek and obey God's will in our lives too. We are asking that the world mirrors the perfection of heaven. The next line, Give us our daily bread. We ask that God provides for our immediate needs, both physical and spiritual. We should ask for others too, and not just for ourselves. And we should express thanks for what God has already blessed us with. And the phrase harkens back, the idea of daily bread, to maybe manna, which God sustained the ancient Israelites in their 40 years of wandering in the desert with, to teach them that they were ultimately reliant completely on him. It's a vital lesson for us as well. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, the debt or trespass aspect here concerns paying the consequences that we truly deserve. With a repentant attitude, we ask that God forgive us all that we have done wrong. Thankful for his great mercy and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and recognizing that we must have a forgiving attitude towards others who've wronged us in some way. And lead us not into temptation. We ask here that God would help us to learn lessons quickly and do right immediately, rather than having to go through chastising, hardship and tribulation to get our act together. But deliver us from evil. Here we ask for protection from harm or calamity, as well as malevolence directed against us. We seek deliverance from the devil and all evil, and the society that they have influenced. And we seek rescue from our own corrupt selves and our own selfish nature. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We end our prayers as we began, with praising God. And this is a condensed form of David's praise that you'll find in the book of Chronicles and also in the Psalms. And of course, as you know, we finish with the word Amen. This concluding affirmation means truly, or so be it. And in line with Jesus' instruction, we pray to the Father in his name. This means that we trust what the Father is doing in the world and accept our part in it. So in conclusion, it is our job as the Christian community in this place, in this village, to pray continually for our locality, our country and our world. And yes, that even includes our Prime Minister. This need not be done with despair, but with hope of prayer answered. Jesus reminds us to ask God for all that we need. We must rely on him rather than our own endeavours and our worries or concerns. St. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, reminds us that we are not to despair because it is God who triumphs. St. Paul says that God disarms the rulers and authorities and makes a public example of them, triumphing over them. God's kingdom is both here and is coming. And we might look around and not see God's plan for the world easily, but it is there. Look for the signs of the kingdom in the stranger, the smile of a child, and the small miracles that we do see each day if we only look for them. Finally, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you." Let us endeavour together to pray more and worry less. Amen.
Amen.